Hello and welcome to Lounging with Books. I'm Sophie.
And I'm Claire.
And today we are joined by Safiya Ahmed. Now, first, before we begin, I do want to apologise for the screaming background noise. We do have Key Stage 3 lunch.
They're clamouring to get
clamouring
in.
So ignore the screaming and enjoy the podcast. So, Safiya Ahmed is the author of Secrets of the Henna Girl. What is this book about?
So, Secrets of the Henna Girl is about a young British Asian girl who is being bullied by her parents. She's 16 years old. They want her to have a forced marriage, and she's rebelling against that. So the story is about how she stands up for herself and tries to get herself out of that situation.
Can you talk us through the difference between the forced marriage and an arranged marriage?
Of course. Forced marriages are when there's absolutely no consent. The boy or the girl aren't giving it, and they're being forced by their parents usually. Arranged marriages are very, very different. They've been happening for centuries in lots and lots of different cultures. And it's just a way of being introduced to someone. So there's a matchmaker in the background, but you absolutely have the right to say yes or no. The consent is always there. Forced marriages are forbidden in all religions. There's no religion that says it's allowed. And they're a breach of your human rights as well. So it's illegal under international UN law as well. So, and illegal in this country too.
So why did you want to write this particular story?
Before I was published, I worked for a very, very long time in the Houses of Parliament. And of course, Parliament is where all the campaigners go because they are lobbying for law change. And when I was working there, the MP staff also get lobbied. And I came across a group of women, Asian women, who were in their late 30s and early 40s, who had come to Parliament to ask the MPs to make forced marriages illegal. And they stood up in very, very public meetings and talked about what happened to them when they had been younger. So they're basically survivors of forced marriages. The reason they'd set up this campaign was so that what they had been through wouldn't be something that other young people would have to go through ever. So it's about protecting young people, you know, from this practice. And I was just absolutely fascinated by what they had to say, because I thought to myself, these are British-born young, British-born women, born and brought up in this country, and all these awful things happened to them when they'd been teenagers and nobody had really helped them. And one thing they were trying to do, along with hand in hand with trying to make forced marriages illegal, was to raise awareness of the issue, to show that it does happen in our country. It needed to be stopped. And I thought to myself, I could write a book about this. I could write a book about a young British girl being bullied like this, but it could be an empowering story about how she stands up for herself. And what I really wanted to show in the book was that my character, Zeba, is just like any other British girl, regardless of race and faith. You know, she's born and brought up here, been through the education system. Of course, she has ambition. She's independent. How is she just going to go in and
She was highly bright as well,
She was, the character. So, you know, you just by you being removed from Britain doesn't change who you are. You're still that British girl with the same aspiration and ambition and independence like everybody else. And so, of course, she was going to rebel. So that's where the idea came from.
Was it difficult to get it published?
Not this story. So the whole story behind the publication of this book. So I spent years and years trying to get published with other stories, with writing agents, and that I'm sure you've heard of, the whole, when you have author visits, all the rejections that everybody goes through, years and years of it. And I have had years and years of rejections. But with this story, it kind of coincided with a competition that I'd entered. And I didn't win that competition. I was only shortlisted. But Penguin Books had kind of been involved in that competition, and somebody had noticed my writing. And I'd been invited via the competition people to give a presentation at Penguin's offices. And I met the lady there, who eventually became my editor, who said, we'd love to work. I've seen your work, I've seen your writing. And she said, do you have a story that you'd like to show me? But I'd only had this idea in my head so far, because I think about stories for a long time in my head before actually writing them. So I said, I'd love to write a book about a young British girl, but an empowering story about how she stands out for herself. You know, she was really lovely and said she gave me a year to write it. And I handed it in 9 months, and then I got my contract. So not via the normal way of a writing agent with the first book.
So you mentioned you used to work in Parliament, which is where you got your idea from. Why did you go from Parliament to writing YA fiction? It seems like it should be worlds apart.
Well, I'd always wanted to be a writer, always. It was a childhood dream from when I was about 7 or 8, and really inspired, of course, by people like Roald Dahl, and Enid Blyton was my favourite. So I'd always written stories, always, as a bookworm, and my favourite hobby was to write stories. So it was always a dream. I tried to pursue it seriously after I left university, and then just met with rejections and thought, gosh, I need, you know, to have a career to you know, pay my bills. And I was always a Labour Party activist. I was always a political activist. So it just came that, you know, I ended up working in Parliament. That was, you know, that was what I was interested in. But I was always writing stories in the background. And it just came about that I got my book deal just as the Labour Party lost the election in 2010. So it was like a sign, yeah. You know, get out.
Get out.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a childhood dream that came true, basically. But I'm still a political activist.
Do you miss working in Parliament at all? Do you kind of think, like, now with all the craziness going on, oh, I wish I was still there, or are you happy being a full-time author?
Do I miss Parliament? It is a great place to work. And, yeah, I do miss it sometimes. I'm not sure about right now, with all the mud flying about, you know, where we are in the country. You know, it's so divided. But yeah, as a political activist, you know, when things are happening, you think, oh, I want to be there. Sometimes, you know, if I'm on the M1 in a hotel by myself, but the next day with the hotel, you know, author visit, I do think, oh gosh, I had a bit of a career change there. But I mean, Parliament is there, and I can always go back. And I am a political activist, so I'm still involved in politics. I'm just not a paid employee there anymore. You know, I love going into schools and talking to teenagers. You know, my author visits are about activism. And, I think of that as activism as well, you know, talking to teens and saying, read my story.
So, what have you been reading recently?
Okay, so a fabulous book at the moment. I've just picked it up, just the first few chapters. It's Anjali K. Rolfe's book. Which is The Star Outside My Window. She wrote the Blue Peter Award winning book, The Boy at the Back of the Class.
Yes. We've read that. Very good book. Yeah.
So I thought, gosh, I need to read her next one. So I've just started it, and it's lovely. She's done it so well. I mean, normally you would think, gosh, this is such a dark subject area. But she's written about foster kids whose mother has just been killed. It's domestic violence, but it's the way the children are coping with it and the denial that they initially go through. And I think the story, I mean, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm imagining that the story will be about how they come to accept that their mother was violently killed in a domestic violence dispute.
Do you think it's quite a slightly, for the slightly older teen? Because obviously the first book, mm-hmm. The Boy at the Back of the Class, was very much sort of year six sort of book. So you think this is perhaps for older teenagers then?
No, I think it's classed as high end of middle grade.
Yeah.
So the writing style and the way the characters are.
It's still okay for the year sixes, year
she's
sevens
done it,
to read.
Yeah, it's done so subtly. I mean, there's, you know, nothing gratuitous in there.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think, how children would try to cope, you know, with the death of their of a parent, and then come into the reality of it that their father was the one that did that. So she's done it so well. I haven't finished it, as I said, but it started really, really well. And she's an amazing writer, so I'm looking forward to finishing that one.
Sophia has been amazing. She did an author workshop for us where she spoke about Secrets of the Hannibal Girl, and a human rights campaigning workshop. Brilliant. So make sure you check her out and invite her to your school. But before we say goodbye, self-promotion time.
Yes.
What are you writing now? What's coming up?
Well, can I tell you about what's just been released?
Yes, of course.
I'm very excited about it. It's nothing like the year nines I'm normally given to work with in schools, but it's a picture book called Under the Great Plum Tree, about a kind-hearted monkey and a silly old crocodile and their friendship. So that was just released in October, so I've been busy promoting that. In terms of future releases, my next release is in September 2020. God, I can't believe I'm saying that, 2020.
Yeah. It's come a long fast, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Which is about historical fiction about a young woman who was one of Mr. Churchill's spies in the Second World War, who was sent to occupied France to feed information back to the, you know, to the Brits, to the Allies. So I'm just editing that now. It's just being edited at the moment. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that'll be released in 2020, September.
And you're doing that with Scholastic, aren't you?
I'm doing that with
You've
Scholastic.
You've got loads of workshops planned to promote it.
I'll be in the book fairs and everything, won't it?
Yes, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. People always think, well, they always say that Britain won the war. And I think I'm trying to say in this book, through this book, that actually it was the British Empire that won the war, that millions of people from around the world, from the Empire, contributed, you know, to the war effort. There were, you know, about 2 million South Asians. There were people from the Caribbean, Australia, New Zealand, everywhere. It wasn't just this island by itself. So yeah, the workshops will be around that, about the contribution of everybody in the war, just using that one historical figure's story.
Next week, we will be chatting to Alexandra Shepherd, who is the author of Oh My Gods. But for now, it's been a pleasure having you here, Sophia. It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And thank you for having me.